Blog Talk Radio.
Luke 24. Now on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they found not the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" And then if you would like to just listen to this one, it's Isaiah 31. But I hope you read it too on your own. Isaiah 31, the first two verses. "Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help, who rely on horses, who trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong, but do not look to the Holy One of Israel or consult the Lord. And yet he is wise and brings disaster. He does not call back his words, but will arise against the house of evildoers and against the helpers of those who work iniquity." Also verse 3, "The Egyptians are man and not God. Their horses are flesh and not spirit. When the Lord stretches out his hand, the helper will stumble, and he who is helped will fall. They will all perish together." And then Colossians 3. And that, keep that open. And I'm going to read just the first three verses for starters. You remember we sang these verses already? "If you then have been raised up with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." I read also verse 4. "When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." So I want to start with a question and ask us, what is your source? What is your source? Where do you look when you have a need? Where do you go for help? In what do we trust? We look at our money and it says, "In God we trust," but do we? Or do we trust in the dollar, on which is written, "In God we trust"? What is our source? What do we trust in? Do we trust in our self-sufficiency? "I can do it. I can handle this." Or do we trust in money? Or position? Worldly philosophies? Education? "I know. The government. That's who we trust." The Great White Father. That's all we need. Yeah, right. Those women on that Good Friday, or that day we call Good Friday, had watched carefully and had seen where Jesus was buried. Then 3 days later, they go to the cemetery. And as you put all the Gospels together, you discover that their greatest concern is the stone. Who's going to roll this humongous stone away for us? I wonder how many times we've been worried about the stone. That impossible thing. Who's going to roll away the stone? Then finding the stone already rolled away, and the grave is empty, they rather park themselves and stare into this hole in the ground. Waiting for what? I believe the word of the angels is very revealing. Why? Why are you looking in here? Why do you seek that which is living among the dead? A good question, isn't it? And I think God is still asking it of us. Why are you looking here? To his people, God spoke very strongly, sternly, harshly, through the prophet Isaiah. Woe to you who go down to Egypt to find help. Biblically, Egypt is a symbol of the world, the ways of the world. Woe to you who go down to Egypt for help, who rely on horses because they're fast, who rely on horsemen because they are strong. Then notice how God qualifies that woe. He says, you do not seek me, and you do not consult me. See, God hasn't said we can't get help from the world, but we can get help from the world after we've consulted with God. See, it's easy to turn to the world for help, isn't it? Because we've been basically taught the world has an unending supply of whatever we need. And then whatever that is that we needed, you know, by next month, they put out a new edition called New and Improved. What was wrong with the old? Well, because if it's new and improved, I'll buy some more. And yet, look what God says. The world is destroyed, and so are all they who depend on the world. See, it's about consulting God, not about getting help. Sometimes God may send you to the bank, or to the doctor, or to the university, or to whatever, to get something that you need. But only after you consult it with God and you get word from God, this is what you are to do. It's not our first line of action. First we consult God, then we follow his direction. And on that resurrection morning, here's those ladies looking into that hole in the ground. It's dark. It's one of the things I was grateful for when you go into that garden tomb. Thankfully, those who are trying to make money on tourists, at least haven't put any electric lights in there. it's still dark, and it's still empty. On that resurrection morning, why did the women come? Well, they came, it says, with spices to anoint the body. Basically, they were going to try to make death look better. But you know, no matter how you dress it up, death is still dead. And it was in turning from the grave into the garden itself that Mary encountered Jesus. See, it's when we turn our attention away from the things of the world and its methods that we encounter Jesus as well. Listen to another word of God from the book of Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, the God, the Holy One of Israel, it is in quietness, it is in returning and in rest that you are saved. It is in quietness and confidence that you shall be strong. But you were unwilling. You said, no, we will flee on horses. The horses, the book of Psalms says, are a vain thing for safety. We understand from the scriptures that we have been united to God in Christ. And it takes place in his resurrection from the dead. We sang those songs this morning. When he died, who died? I did. When he was buried, who was buried? Me. You. And when he was raised up, it says what? We were raised up together with him and seated with him in the heavenlies. At the Father's right hand. See, there is no lack in God's presence. And since all of this is true, God kind of pins us against the wall here in the book of Colossians as he starts us with a question with an if. If. If you have been raised up with Christ. You see, it's a question. We would ask it in good English like this. Have you been raised up with Christ? Have you been raised up with Christ? If you have, the Bible says, if you have, then there's only one thing for you to do. Seek those things that are above, where Christ is. Then, if Christ is raised, did Christ raise from the dead? If he did, so did you. Did God raise him up to be seated with him in the heavenlies? If he did you as well. Then the only place you ever have to look for anything is above, where Christ is. And then Bible follows through with a few steps of action. So we have to answer that question first of all, don't we? Have I been raised up with Christ? If I haven't, then you need to repent and be born again and become a child of God. But if you are a child of God, then you have died with him, you've been buried with him, you've been raised up with him. And God then says, if that is true, then do these things. Set your mind on things above. If you have King James, says affections. Set your mind. Focus your thoughts. Fix your mind on things above, not on the things on the earth. The things on the earth are very visible, aren't they? It takes an exercise to look beyond what we see out here to see what God wants us to see that is above where He is. But not only is He there, we are there. So God is very plain. Fix your mind on those things. And then the next thing He says is, because you have died. You have died. In other words, your contact with the world is severed. It's like an electrical line. In a storm, a tree blows over, falls on the line, breaks the line. Wozers, no power in your house. God says that's what's happened to us. The line is broken. But I feel like sometimes what we do is we try to hold it together, try to make it work, sparks and all. God said, don't look at that. Look at that which is above. Look at that is where Christ is. And see, it's because we are in Christ, where Christ is. It's not just talk. It's not just a mode of expression. But it's reality, a reality that we need to renew our minds to be able to believe and act upon it. As the begotten child of God, the next thing he talks about is, as the begotten child of God, Christ Jesus isn't in our lives. You heard that right. He is not in our lives. The Bible says He is our life. He is our life. He didn't rejuvenate something within us. He replaced that which we are. We sang that this morning. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live how? By the faith of the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. So God says, we're a clay pot. That's not very, I suppose, flattering, is it? That's what God says, isn't it? He said, we have a treasure in a clay pot. Also another clay pot. Which you like best? See, most will say, well, we really like this one. Well, this clay pot is fine if you want to display a clay pot. But the purpose of pots is to show off the plant. If you put the plant in here, well, it looks all right, I guess, but you see, there are distractions. The object is, the pot is to show off the plant, not the pot. You see what I'm trying to say? We would like to be this, all prettied up. But if you want to be a pot, be a pot. But this is what God's looking for, that He might fill it. And the beauty of it and the glory of it is not going to be the pot, but that which fills it. You follow a little homely illustration? And so, it is no longer I who live. You notice both those pots are totally empty until something fills it. I am totally empty until I am filled with Christ. So God says this is how it is. If you have been raised up with Christ, or we'll say since, we're agreeing that we've been raised up with Christ, since we've been raised up with Him, then seek the things above where Christ is, and don't put your focus upon the things that are upon the earth. Jesus says the earth is passing away. and every mood that is involved with it is passing away. So then verse 4 says, so Christ, your life. Christ, your life. When he appears, we'll appear. Now, notice, God's got a little job for us now. God's got a little bit of a job for us. Starting at verse 5. What does the first verse say? First word say in your Bible? Or first two or three words? Put to death, mortify, kill. Mortify, kill, put to death what? Everything that is earthly within us. He said, kill it. Then he gives us a little list. Sexual impurities. What are you going to do with that? Kill it. Immorality. What are you supposed to do with that? Kill it. Covetousness. What are we going to do with this? Kill it. Evil desires. Kill it. Lust for power. Kill it. Anger. Kill it. Wrath, which just means uncontrolled hatred. You can do with it. Kill it. Malice. Malice means you wish to do evil to someone. What are you going to do with that? Kill it. And slander. Slander means to talk bad about someone. What do you do with that? Kill it. You know what? If we didn't talk about people, we would say a lot less. Dirty talk. What are we going to do with that? Kill it. And then the last he puts down is what? Lying. Like that's the worst of all. What do you do with lying? Kill it. See, we think we can get by, or we can cover up things with little lies. We even say little white lies. They don't come in colors. They're all evil. And then he says, all of these things are idolatry. Idolatry. Worshipping an idol. And what's the idol we worship when we entertain these things? The self. I become the idol. I want to have bad thoughts. I want this. I want power. I can. I will. I. A lot of people have eye trouble. And no amount of glasses will fix it. So God is saying, talking to us about some very serious business. And he says, it's your job. Here's the list. Kill it. He talks about killing as putting off. But now what? It's time to go into our dressing rooms. And take off, as we take off that old nature with all of those characteristics. But God's not interested in us running around bare naked. So he says, put on. Take all that off and put this on. What does it say to put on? Here's the list. Verses 12 through 14, he gives us the list of what to put on. Compassion. Kindness. Humility. Meekness, patience, forgiveness, and above all, the most important, he gains last again. In the last of evil things to put off, he puts the biggest at the end. He puts the biggest at the end of the good things. Above everything else, put on love. Put on love, which binds us all. And then notice this is important. Because sometimes people read this scripture and say, oh, I can't be perfect. Nobody asked you to. And yet, God says, be as perfect as he is. And the only way that can be is he does it. He lives out his life. It's no longer I who live. I'm the pot. He's the plant. And so he says, this new man, verse 10, notice, you have put on the new nature, the new self, the new man, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. So this new creature that we are is constantly being renewed and adjusted to the image of Jesus. And it happens as we come to know him better and better. And the better we come to know him, the less we will be looking all around, because God will fill our vision till we see nothing or no one else. God's not calling us to be monks and go live out in the desert someplace. But he's calling us to be totally united to Jesus. Even as Jesus prayed that we would be in him and he in us. We are told in this same book of Colossians that we are complete in him. We are whole in him. This is not saying that we cannot receive help from the world, but that we would seek God first. And if he chooses, he will use the world and its means to meet our needs. It's simply listening when God asks us, why are you looking here? And we turn away from all that we have trusted in the natural, in the world, and we look to Jesus. If you then have been raised up with him, seek those things which are above. Set your mind on things that are above, not on the things that are upon the earth. It's simply doing what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, isn't it? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all these other things will fall into place in their proper order. But it's God first and last. He's Alpha, he's Omega, and he's the middle two. He is all. So the Bible says he is the all, and he's in all. He is the treasure. We're the clay pots, we're the containers. And God fills his containers with his glory. It's up to us to let Jesus be who he is in us. So we want to have a good focus. That nobody will be asking you, why are you looking here? When we should be looking above. Where Christ is. Where you are. Where I am. Not just in talk, but in the reality of the Spirit.